Good evening and welcome to the Lord's house. This evening we continue our study of the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles, please open up to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. In the Pew Bible, scripture would be found on page 896. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. This is God's holy and inerrant word. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Please pray with me. Father, I pray as we look at this most astounding passage, this great teaching of Jesus, this illustration, metaphor being taught by Christ, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to accept the truth of this word. O Lord, sear it upon our hearts to the glory of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Context is important for a proper understanding of this text before us. At the end of chapter 9, the Pharisees had, if you remember, excommunicated the blind man whom Jesus had healed. Look back at chapter 9, verse 34. It says, they answered the blind man, the Pharisees did, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. So they threw him out of the fellowship of the temple precincts. And then, of course, what happens is that Jesus, when he hears about the man being excommunicated and thrown out of the temple, Jesus tracks the blind man down. And we see then Jesus confronting the beggar, the healed beggar, and we see that he comes to faith and confesses his faith in Christ. We saw that in chapter 9, verse 38, where the beggar said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. But then there's that's a crescendo, isn't it? That's a wonderful ending to that particular story. But the story isn't over. There are a few more verses in the chapter where the section concludes with the Pharisees and Jesus having words with one another again. And this back and forth between Jesus and the Pharisees continues into chapter 10, into the story that we're considering this evening. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, provides an image or an extended metaphor that we see here in verses 1 through 6. That is, he gives a word picture. It's almost parabolic for people to gain understanding. These are pictures for believers to gain a deeper understanding of what Jesus is saying. And so he gives an illustration of a figure of speech that is appropriate to the context of the situation that we are considering. Now, Jesus' image or metaphor that he presents may be divided into three parts. And again, understand, it is spoken directly to the Pharisees in whom Jesus is having this conversation with. Okay, part one of the text is verse 1. Let's read that again and comment on it. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So Jesus provides an extended metaphor of the relationship of a flock to a shepherd. This is a word picture that would have been very well known to Jesus' audience. They were people of Judea at this time. It was an agrarian society where they grew crops and they herded animals. And so he uses just this perfect word picture of their time. It is a feature of everyday human life in Judea during the New Testament period. So, to be honest, it has a greater force to it, to the original audience, than it does to us. I can't imagine there's many people out here who are shepherds or have sheep in your yards here in downtown Charlotte. I would be quite surprised by that. So, you understand, we need to explain it more then, because it has a striking metaphor for the people of the time. Now, look how it begins. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," he begins painting his picture with these words, the Greek, amen, amen, or amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you. And these words throughout the Gospels reflect the idea that a very important teaching is coming. Amen, amen, I say to you. And what is the picture? He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. The picture is that of a yard in front of a house that is surrounded by a stone wall. It is an enclosure for a flock. And there is only one gate, one entrance through that wall, a gateway there, in order to get to the flock that is tied to the particular house. And here, you understand, I mean, animals lived with people back in those days. The people would live up on the second story. The animals would be on the first story and out in the yard and in the enclosure. And so it's a picture that the sheep are protected from beasts of prey and from the elements of the weather. There are those, however, who do not use the right and good entrance. Jesus says, but there are those that climb over the wall to get at the sheep. They don't go through the one entrance. They climb over the wall to get at the sheep. These men are dishonest shepherds. They are sheep stealers. They steal in the sheepfold in order to shear the sheep. They have no virtuous purposes in mind. They're there to get what they can from the sheep. Now, this, of course, is a vivid picture of the Pharisees, who are false shepherds and false teachers. The flock, therefore, is Judaism inside of that walled enclosure, and it is being led, Judaism is being led by blind leaders, those who came to the flock in the wrong way, those who are the head of the flock. But they're there for their own well-being, for their own good, not for the good of the sheep. They do not come through the door of repentance. They don't come through the door of bringing glory to God, or they do not come through the gospel message. They certainly don't come through the Messiah. No, as J.C. Ryle comments, they have worldly and self-exalting motives. They have blind ambition. They have no desire to exalt Christ, to exalt the Messiah. In fact, they outright reject the Messiah. These are the shepherds of Israel. Now, a great example of their shepherding technique, of course, their true colors were shown in their heartless dealings with the blind man. Here's a sheep who has come to know the truth, and they've excommunicated him. He's come to know the gospel, and they've discarded him and thrown him out of the sheep enclosure. It's a vivid, striking picture that Jesus is making of these Pharisaic leaders. Jesus, in fact, is giving us a picture that indeed applies to all ages in the church, including the present age, including our age. Again, as J.C. Ryle said in regard to this verse, he said, "Unconverted ministers are the dry rot of the church." Or as Spurgeon pronounced, "How horrible to be a preacher of the gospel and yet to be unconverted." A pastor who has to guide travelers along the path that he has never walked. A pastor who captains a ship through waters he has never navigated. How can one like that lead the flock of Jesus Christ? This is a bad and false shepherd. Now, in verses 2 through 4, part 2 of the passage, Jesus gives a contrast. He gives a vivid picture of a good shepherd. So verse 1, bad shepherd. Verses 2 through 4, picture of a good shepherd. Let's begin by looking at verse 2. But there's your contrastive particle, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So in contrast, there is a good shepherd who enters the sheepfold honestly and lawfully and the right way. He comes in the proper entrance, and this shepherd has nothing to hide. He has no reason to avoid detection. He's not slyly or in a sneaky way trying to come in and get at the flock. And his motives, therefore, are different than what we see in verse 1 of the Pharisees. The motives of the good shepherd is to call his sheep and to lead his sheep and to care for his sheep. He's not there to shear his sheep or to take advantage of them. He's there to love them and care for his sheep. The shepherd, of course, in this vivid picture, is Jesus himself. As he declares later in this chapter, down in verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. And indeed, Jesus' true colors have been shown in his compassionate dealings with the blind man. Here was a sheep who had been healed physically and then spiritually. And Jesus dealt with him in a sympathetic, loving, and solicitous manner. And he was loving to this downtrodden beggar who had been born blind. So you see those two pictures. Who is the good shepherd? Picture continues in verse 3 as Jesus says to him, to this shepherd who comes in the right way, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he gives this picture as the shepherd comes through the right gateway and he comes to the sheepfold, and there the watchman recognizes him and he lets him in through the gate. And the true shepherd, he calls for his flock, even the text says, calling them by name. The biblical commentator Dr. Bruce says, "In my youth, shepherds in the Scottish Highlands not only called their individual sheep by name, but claimed that an individual sheep would recognize its own name and respond to it." In fact, I've seen this in Bethlehem, as others have as well, in which at night, three or four shepherds, they take their flocks, they put them together, and then the three or four shepherds guard the flock on the outside. And all the sheep are mixed together. In the morning, the shepherds, they stand apart at a distance. They begin to call their sheep by name. And one by one, the sheep move to their particular, peculiar shepherd. When you think about that, what great intimacy, what a great portrait, what a great picture of intimacy and trust. The naming of the sheep by the shepherd is surely what God does with His people. Does He not? Listen to one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1, Isaiah says this, "But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I've called you by name. Jesus is naming of His sheep. Indeed, show that they belong to Him. Verse 4 is the next step of the shepherd. Jesus' metaphor, when He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. So the next step of the shepherd is that He brings His own sheep out of the sheepfold. Now understand here, remember that sheepfold is Judaism. He doesn't take all of the sheep out of the sheepfold, but only takes those that belong to Him. Remember I said earlier that the sheep in the sheepfold represent Judaism, and Judaism is being cared for by unscrupulous shepherds. And here we see, however, a true shepherd comes, goes to the gate, calls his own sheep, brings forth his own. I mean, this is a picture of the electing will of Christ as He brings His own out of that sheepfold, calling them by name. That's election. Jesus comes for His own, but there are many sheep in the sheepfold who do not follow Him. They belong to the unscrupulous shepherds. Mark Johnston tells the story of a trip he took to Bethlehem with a tour. The guide told the group that shepherds in Israel, even today, go before their sheep, calling with their voices, and the sheep follow. Just then, a flock of sheep appeared outside the windows of the bus. And everybody looked out, and they saw that. And, of course, they were expecting the shepherd to be leading the sheep. But what they saw was a man behind the sheep with a stick beating on the sheep. The passengers mocked the tour guide regarding his understanding of the shepherds, but without missing a beat, and appropriately, the tour guide responded, "That is not the shepherd. That's the butcher." Indeed. That's the butcher. Note that the text there also says that they are His own. Verse 4, when He has brought out all His own. They belong to no one else. They belong to the Good Shepherd. And they follow Him. And He leads. I would encourage you, if you get the opportunity, to read a book by a Scots pastor. His name is J. Douglas McMillan. The book is titled The Lord Our Shepherd. It was printed in 1983 by Brinterian Press. And in it, he tells the story of a shepherd he knew who had sold 100 lambs in the town of Oban. And traveling in a train, 3 weeks later, this shepherd passed by a big flat plain called the Carse of Stirling, where lambs are fattened up and then sold, often at a huge profit. Well, when he got home, the shepherd came to the guy who was writing the book, and he said to him, "You know, Douglas, I saw my lambs." Douglas said, "Well, where did you see your lambs?" He answered, "In among about 3,000 other ones in a field at Stirling." This shepherd knew his lambs even from the window of a moving train, his 100 among 3,000. That's a picture of our Lord. He has named us and has called us, and he knows his sheep. Andreas Kostenberger rightly concludes, "This intimacy of a shepherd and his flock provides a beautiful illustration of the trust, familiarity, and bond existing between Jesus and his followers." And this is clearly in opposition to the imposter Pharisees, these strangers to the gospel who care only about their own interests and well-being. They are shearers of the sheep. They are butchers of the sheep. And in reality, and it ought to break our hearts when we think about this, that when we consider today's world and the deep brokenness of our society, never has there been a time when people so desperately need to hear a voice upon which they can rely. Most in our society are being led by butchers and those who shear the sheep. People are so easily betrayed when they commit themselves to other things and other people than Jesus Christ. "I'm the good shepherd," Jesus says. "I call my people and they follow me." And the third part of our passage is found in verse 5. It's a vivid picture of the true sheep. So the first part was a vivid picture of the bad shepherd. The second part was a vivid picture of the good shepherd. The third part is a vivid picture of the true sheep. It says this, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." True sheep of the one good shepherd can discern voices, and they do not follow the voices of strangers. They've been chosen, they've been effectually called, and they know their master's voice. In sheepfolds in Israel today, it can be seen that sheep do not respond to strangers' voices. In fact, they run away from strangers. I recently read the story of a Scotsman who traveled to Israel, and he changed clothes with a Jerusalem shepherd and tried to lead that man's flock of sheep. But they did not follow his lead. The sheep followed the shepherd's voice, not his clothing. We follow the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, in verse 6, we get the Pharisees and their response. You get a vivid picture of the Pharisees. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Oh, is that a crushing moment in this passage? We read the Pharisees' response to Jesus' teaching. They did not understand what he was saying to them. It was lost upon them. They did not hear the shepherd's voice. No, they are not the true sheep. They are shearers of the sheep. They are the butchers of the sheep. They're not the loving, compassionate shepherds that Jesus is talking about. And indeed, they're not even true sheep. they didn't hear the shepherd's voice. But in contrast, we should see in Christ the shepherd who is worthy of our deepest confidence. We would do well to ponder and reflect upon this portrait of Christ, that we would see that He is worthy of our trust, and that He is a good shepherd who keeps His word to His sheep. Do you hear His voice calling to you? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that voice calling to you? Will you follow that voice? The voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful passage, this wonderful teaching of Jesus, that He indeed is the true shepherd and worthy of being followed. O Lord, keep us upon the right path, the path that follows the true shepherd. We pray that You would be with Your sheep this very hour. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.